When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with T-minus 2 days and counting. Can Mr. Mahomes lift off into a stratosphere literally no player ever has before? Or will it be Purdy's party? Brock, with a chance to silence the doubters for all eternity, we've got you covered on the Super Bowl. And then, a marvelous night for Mr. Jackson. But we'll tell you the one thing he's now done that no one ever had before, and he's not going to like it. Let's go. It's a Football Friday. We're ready for the game. We are Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. The squad is ready to go. Timmy is back for more QB quick reads. Bartholomew and D Wood are ready to go. Dan Orlovsky will join us from Vegas as we continue. And we will get to all your Super Bowl action, but hold everything. Did you see what Steph Curry did last night? What a show he put on in Indiana. What you were about to see are the first 7 shots he took last night. D-Wood, they're all from three-point range, and they all go in.
Yeah, you're talking about the sniper of this generation going out there and just putting on a masterclass in Indiana.
Any generation, Bartholomew. Again, this, you're counting them off. That was 3. Here comes 4.
He's first not, quarter.
All these are in the first quarter. Again, these are consecutive shots that he took. That one is the 5th, and here comes number 6.
6 for 6. He's barely across midcourt.
He's a monster.
What do you do? Got the double team. He's pulling up from the logo, damn it.
The second quarter, this is his 7th shot. So he starts the game 7 of 7 from three-point range. Here we are, final seconds of the half. Mr. Outside goes inside as well. There were no answers for Steph last night. Fourth quarter, he's still hitting the gas pedal here. Warriors are up by 17. There's Steph with his 11th three. 42 points for Steph Curry, 11 of 16 from three-point range, and the Warriors win it 113-109. Curry at 35, having one of his best seasons of his career, and yesterday reminding us that he is the greatest shooter that we have ever seen. His 13th career game with 11 or more threes, that's more than triple the total any other player in history ever had. All right, to the Super Bowl, here we go. We're counting it down to Super Bowl 58. You see it, we are counting it second by second. And we'll call this Fired Up Friday, the Super Bowl edition. Tim, what are you fired up to see?
Listen, I'm fired up to see Patrick Mahomes' competitiveness and Brock Purdy kind of handling this moment. We know Mahomes is one of the greatest competitors. Like, how does he will his football team in this big moment? And then Brock Purdy, it's such a big deal for him. I mean, life-changing game for him. How does he respond in that moment? Does he kind of answer the call and play as well as Patrick Mahomes?
Stunning. The quarterback is looking forward to seeing the quarterbacks play. Didn't see that one coming. D. Wood, give me something you're fired up about on Friday.
Who's going to own the middle of the field? I thought your Ravens was going to own the middle of the field against Travis Kelce. Now you got to match up again against Fred Warner. Who's going to own the middle of the field? We know that Travis Kelce has been Patrick Mahomes' guy throughout these postseasons. Let's see who wins this battle here.
Pride to get you hurt.
Fred Warner.
So you better double that, man. Pride to get
Fine
you hurt.
Defender. How about you, Bartholomew? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking on best. I'm talking about what's a goon to a goblin, Greeny. I want to see my boy Trent Williams, Junkyard Dog versus Chris Jones, certified OG, triple OG. I want to see who's going to win that slug match.
Yeah, there are so many ways in which this game is fascinating, that Kansas City defense, everything else. And what it all adds up to at the end of the day is that the Chiefs are underdogs in this Super Bowl, despite the fact that everyone I've had here all week long is picking them to win. Andy Reid yesterday was asked about being the underdog. Here's what he said.
I understand why we're the underdog. I get that. We had some ups and downs during the season. I never feel like an underdog going into a game, but I understand why it's been situated that way, but it is. It's what it is.
Situated. Yes. You should hear the laughter here. Let me just quickly show you this. They got him right where they want him, right? Patrick Mahomes, in his career as a betting underdog, is 9-3 outright, not against the spread. He's 9-3 outright, which is the best record by any quarterback in the Super Bowl era. So Mahomes has got him right where he wants him. But I wish you all could have heard it. When Andy Reid said that, when he said, "I understand why we're underdogs," immediately Bart just said, "Lies." Yeah. What does that mean? Why is he lying?
Listen, I know that his commercial when he say, "How about those nuggies," was great acting, but that was acting right there. Miss me with that, man. You talk about, listen, why put the chip on their shoulder, right? Being disrespected, the repeating champions. They have the experience. They closed the deal. They have the best player on the team, on the field. I think they have the 49ers right where they want them. And more pressure to me is on Shanahan and John Lynch and that regime to kind of close the deal and finish the show. Because, listen, you love that beautiful quarterback over there that's $900,000, but, you know, yesterday's price is not going to be today's price for what he's done. Eventually, they're going to have to pay the piper.
So it's interesting when you think about it that way, because I did a couple of radio shows yesterday, and people were reminding me, just the conversations brought me back to, like, 4 weeks ago, no one thought the Chiefs were going to be here. The reason they're underdogs, if we watch them play on Christmas, if we watch them lose that game to the Raiders, they looked just awful. So the reality is they have flipped the switch, right? Yep. That's why they're the underdogs in this game, yes?
It's you know, usually when people say, you know, can teams flip a switch, it's rare. I'm very hesitant to say a team can do that, but this team absolutely did that. I mean, a lot of people kind of left the Kansas City Chiefs for dead. Like, oh, look at the road they got to go on. They're going to have to go through Buffalo. They're going to have to go through Baltimore. Well, guess what? They've done all that. That was really the only last remaining question about Patrick Mahomes. We hadn't seen him go on the road the long, hard way. And now they've done it, and they're still the underdog? Mm-hmm. And you don't think that's not going to fire up those guys in that locker room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were underdogs in Buffalo, and they were underdogs in Baltimore, and Tim has X's and O's ready for us. All right, what does Mr. Mahomes need to do against this San Francisco defense?
Yeah, well, we're going to make it about Mahomes, but I think it's more about the run game.
Okay.
You play San Francisco, they're a fast-flow defense. That's a good thing if you're a defense. Guys flying to the football. But you use that against them. Misdirection runs. Here's Detroit. A week ago. Well, look at the reaction. Look at Bosa closing from the backside. Look at Fred Warner and the angles that it then creates in the run game. Misdirection runs. Yes, in Bart, but when you get him in space, you get missed tackles. Same thing in this football game. It's a misdirection run. They're going to pull the right tackle. They're going to step down with Laporta. That means Bosa's going to close. A little misdirection in the backfield as well that gets you good angles at the second level. Look at Fred Warner. He's frozen because of it, which gets you angles to get up to him, which means you got a talented back in a lot of space in a one-on-one environment, and they win it here. If you look at it for the 49ers, they are giving up like 9 yards per carry on perimeter runs. Runs like that are part of the reason why. Use something that's a strength, which is flying to the football by the 49ers against them. I think Kansas City will get to stuff like that.
No, I totally agree with everything that you said. But what I'm looking at is like one of the most expensive lines, especially next year when they have to play Chase Young for giving up the draft equity they gave. I'm looking at the effort. That was disrespectful to the game of football when you look at the effort.
Show the play again. Sidney, if you can roll the play again, show us what you're talking about.
We got this thing called loafs. Man, these are minuses for everybody. And, like, and this is an important game to go to the Super Bowl. This is the type of effort. Let's look at Chase Young on the back. Let's look at the effort that him and Bosa have. Like, this is the type of effort. This is going to be a field day. This is a – look at this.
Listen,
look at this.
Because they're expecting an inside run, and they're trying to spill. Like, I hear you.
I understand all that, but the effort was disrespectful to the game of football. Like, I don't know if I can pay Chase Young. You know, it's one day, like, he plays like Tarzan, the next play he plays like Jane. Listen, effort can't be an option, right? I got to be able to depend on that all the time. And, yeah, you can fast flow, but nobody's doing their job. They're not staying disciplined. They're not staying square. They're not, you know, listen, the effort of this. Look at Chase Young. Look at him. Listen. Look at him. What the hell is that?
Hey, which is why, that's why. Like, if you're Kansas City, what are you doing? Like, that's exactly, you're making them run.
Yes.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, like, I hope that the message was sent that this isn't acceptable to be on this team. I'd rather play like
like Singletary said, I'd rather play with 10 than play with dude that's playing like that.
So it's interesting, D. Wood. I'm glad we took that little side trip there, because you're making a point and you're actually, I think, adding to
it
more than anything else. The reality is, the Lions stopped running the ball against San Francisco in the second half for reasons known only to them. If there's one thing Andy Reid has shown this year in particular and recently, they will be patient. Mahomes will stay patient. They know they're not the explosive offense they've been. So maybe this sets up for a big Isaiah Pacheco game.
Oh, I actually said yesterday, I think Isaiah Pacheco could be the MVP.
MVP,
MVP of the game. And people got to understand, Andy Reid is a former offensive lineman. Like, so he understands line of scrimmage, the running game, all those type of things. And if you go back and look at how the Kansas City Chiefs have operated this postseason, Patrick Mahomes has been a manager. Think about that. He's been a manager. He's been managing this whole offense at a very high level. So I could absolutely see the Kansas City Chiefs grounding and pounding against this San Francisco 49ers defense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same game plan that you had against Baltimore. Because you look at the San Francisco defense and the personnel is very similar to Baltimore, two outstanding linebackers. And what they did is, if they decide to play zone, they're going to eat you alive. You got to have every single way of doubling Kelce that you can have. You can't allow him to move the chains and sit in zones and be able to just move the sticks, and Patrick Mahomes being able to buy time with his legs. I double him with the hole player and the linebacker. I double him with the backside linebacker and the DN chipping off the end. You know, so you got to make sure that you beat him, because if you look at, you know, the defense between, you know, San Francisco and the Ravens, they're very similar. I think that Warner and Greenlaw is going to handle Pacheco. Somebody's going to get him an attitude adjustment. I mean, he runs like an alligator, but you got to be able to be physical with him. Kelce is the answer that they're going to have to solve.
Bart says things in the most interesting ways of anybody I've heard. But I'm always fascinated by the chess match of these things. We're going to make all our picks a little later today. We'll all smash helmets and everything else towards the end of the show to make our picks. But I'm always fascinated by, well, they think we're going to do that. You got 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, now they've been watching this tape. They see the same thing that Tim does and the same thing that Bart does. So now all of a sudden, Andy comes out and tries to shake that up a little bit, and things wind up going completely the opposite direction. How about the chess match where I'm trying to fool you because I know what you know, what I know you think I'm going to do?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that the thing you can get in trouble with is playing that game too much and getting away from things that you do well.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, when you look at it that way, and I think that happened to Baltimore last week.
Yeah.
Think about Baltimore. They had 6 running back carries last week in the AFC Championship game.
They panicked.
They dropped back 82% of the time. And so I think that the danger is exactly that, Greeny. Look, know what you do well. Have a wrinkle, but do what you do well. So, like, for example, Kansas City's going to run the ball at you with Pacheco. He's an angry runner. They're going to do that. Well, then you go ahead and get an opportunity with Rashee Rice on some type of misdirection run off of it. So, like, I think that's how it really manifests.
Look for the big play. Almost everyone we've had up here is expecting a low-scoring game. Factor that in however you will. We have so much Super Bowl coverage for you planned on this Friday. Meanwhile, coming up, it was a marvelous night for Mr. Jackson. But we will tell you the one thing he has now done that no one ever had before, and he's not going to like it. Plus, the D in Big D is for drama. Believe it or not, we got more of that yesterday from Dallas. Did you hear what Emmitt Smith said about Mike McCarthy? Holy smoke. Don't miss this. It's on the way in this hour. You're watching Get Up on a Football Friday on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58, and in part by Applebee's. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. All right, our next game is called Fact or Fiction from last night's NFL honors. So Joe Flacco was named Comeback Player of the Year. So D Wood, fact or fiction, was DeMar Hamlin snubbed out of that award?
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, listen, we all remember that Monday night game against Cincinnati where DeMar Hamlin basically died on the field. I mean, and the fact that we felt if he stepped back on the football field, that award basically should be named after him. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they should name the award in his honor based upon the circumstances of what he did and give it to whomever they feel deserves it. C.J. Stroud, meanwhile, was named Offensive Rookie of the Year. Tim Hasselbeck, fact or fiction, he'll be a candidate for MVP next year.
Oh, he absolutely will. In fact, I think he was a candidate for it probably this year, yeah. At least for much of the season. And I don't know why there would be any reason to think he wouldn't actually be better a year from now. Remember, he lost one of his best receivers during the season. I actually think he's just only going to improve, especially with what they're building in Houston.
He had the best rookie season any quarterback ever had. And then Lamar Jackson won the MVP award. It was one vote away from being unanimous. Bart, fact or fiction, despite the playoff loss, Lamar's season was a success.
No, fiction. A massive failure. I mean, you talk about, listen, this is the best player in football. The standard is high in Baltimore. I think we have to hold him to the same standard that we hold Josh Allen, that we hold Dak Prescott. And if you ask those guys how their season was, they would say it was a failure. Because it's very few times that you have the opportunity to have the best team, the most healthy team, and home field advantage. And I thought that they succumbed to the mystique of the Kansas City Chiefs. The mystique that, you know, Damon Woody's Patriots had, and that's sometimes what you have to defeat before you realize that you're the better team, you have the better players, but you didn't get the outcome that you wanted. So I think he would say it was a failure as well, because not only are they not playing in the Super Bowl, they didn't even get there. And they lost it in front of their home crowd for the second time after being a number one seed during Lamar's Jackson's career.
Let me put that full screen back up there again so everyone can digest it. And it's what I was talking about when I opened the show by saying he's now done something no one had ever done before, and it's not something anyone wants to do. What you are seeing are all the players who have won more than one MVP award in the Super Bowl era. And what you might notice is that Lamar Jackson is the only one on there who is not a Super Bowl champion. Every other player who has won multiple MVPs in the Super Bowl era has won the Super Bowl. Now, it is incredibly important to place the context. Lamar Jackson is 27 years old.
Yeah.
He has plenty of time to join the rest of the players on that list.
That's but tough, yeah.
Until he gets it done, until that happens, he is the one player on that list who hasn't done it. Failure is such a complicated, if you're comfortable with it, I'm good with it. It's such a complicated word. He had a terrific season. He was the MVP of the league. So all of that speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you look at, I actually sort of agree, it's not just him, but for the team itself, that to play as badly as they did
in every facet,
he played badly. I thought they coached that game terribly.
I mean, you look at the first third down of the football game; it was a drop. Like, I don't know that the guys around him played well. Like we just said, like they called six running back carries. Well, they had two backs; they had three carries. Like, that's listen, like, what's he supposed to do about that?
He's responsible for two turnovers, holding on to the ball far too long, and throwing into triple coverage. That's what I'm trying to say. He would say that wasn't his best performance. Oh, we were expecting an MVP type of performance. That's the standard that we hold him to, because we consider Lamar Jackson as a potential GOAT. And when you're being judged that way, the same way we had to judge Peyton Manning for coming up short against all those Patriots teams, and we have to hold him accountable. I love Lamar Jackson. I've known him since he was in Louisville and won the Heisman. And I'm a Baltimore Raven, apologist, but I have to call a spade a spade. That was a failure of one that we haven't seen in a long time, a total collapse.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think you ask Lamar Jackson, he'll tell you that he didn't have his best game. There's no question about it. And also, the Baltimore Ravens as a team did not play well. I think it, as competitors, as we all are, we will all say there's only one winner out here. Yeah. At the end of the day, regardless of accolades, there's only one winner. The winner of the Super Bowl, that's it. And everyone else is just playing second fiddle. So, yes, the accolade is fine. It's well-deserved. But it is a failure in the grand scheme of things, Greeny, because everything was set up for Baltimore perfectly, and they couldn't come through.
If that's the standard, yeah, there's 31 losers every year, 31 failures every year. Like, if that's the standard, sure. Like, we'll make it easy that way. Here's what I would say. If we were go back a year, okay, who were the pass catchers in Baltimore? Was the offense going to develop? Was Lamar going to grow as a passer? Like,
he did all those things, is what you're saying.
He did all of those things. Yeah. Every single one of them. He is a very different player in February of 2024 than February of 2023. That is a huge thing for the entire organization.
But we only remember the winners.
Sure.
He doesn't want to fall into that category that Phillip Rivers fell into.
Yeah, but if in that case, we say, hey, like Green Bay's season was a failure. Hey, in Green Bay, like they found their quarterback. Denver, like that's a failure, in Denver.
But I say that differently. It's about how they went out, right? Like I think Jared Goff, you can say that was a success, right? Because it's how they went out. They went out playing. He played well. Some bad breaks. That's fine. But Lamar and Todd Monken they had that glazed look over their eyes that we saw in Dak Prescott's eyes. It looked like the moment got to them. Because if they play this game nine out of 10 times, I think the Ravens win that if the magnitude of the moment didn't overtake them.
Let's put it this way. And Tim, I understand where you're coming from. Not everyone's season is a failure that doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Detroit's is not. Houston's is an
Green Bay
success. Green Bay's is a huge success.
Yep.
But when you have that game
Dallas,
at Dallas and you lay the egg that they laid, it is a team failure. That part of it
moments don't come back.
Right. No. And listen, trust me, I agree with that. I understand that. But I'm saying to look at it and say, hey, this is absolutely a failure. And I think when we say that, so much of it is directed at Lamar, right? Just like we're saying, hey, it was directed at Peyton Manning. When I think that when you look at it and you say, all right, Zay Flowers, really? Did you need to do that after the big catch? Did you need to? I think we ought to be very careful putting things on Lamar that really should not be on Lamar.
That said, he didn't play well, though, right?
Right. But Greeny, this goes back to it. He's also not the play caller. They caught six running back runs, 82 dropbacks. He's developed as a passer, but at some point we got to say, no, look, you grew as an offense, but what are you doing how you called that game?
Yeah, he just didn't look himself, and you expect the stars to be the stars, and if you lose, it's fine, right? When Josh Allen lost to Patrick Mahomes, that still was a win. We didn't point it at him. We pointed at the situational play call of the defensive coordinator. That was a lot on Lamar. Two big turnovers was on him. He didn't look like himself.
One way or another, I mean, he wins the MVP last night, and that is the second of his career. Meantime, as we continue back to the Super Bowl, rock and roll, everybody, from Mr. Irrelevant to Mr. Superstar. Is his story the best we've seen in the NFL in decades? Deion Sanders has a lot to say about it. Don't miss it. Plus today, the Green List. I will give you the five best Super Bowl championship teams of all time. The definitive list on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on Get Up as we approach the bottom of the hour. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, and it is time for DraftKings Sportsbook predictions brought to you by DraftKings. All right, Bartholomew, here's the simplest one of all. Who will win MVP of the Super Bowl?
Come on, man. We noticed the Patrick Mahomes Invitational, you know what I'm saying, winning it for all the dad bods out there in the world. Like him, Tyson Fury, all our great stars in American sports are fat. I'm just playing. I don't want to body shame Patrick Mahomes. I'm just playing. I'm just trying to get him that, what's that, Skims? I'm just trying to get him a Skims endorsement. Not that he need more money. I'm trying to get him that Skims endorsement.
Fair enough.
From Kim Kardashian.
All right. It's what doesn't have enough of right now is opportunities for endorsements. Let's give a few more Super Bowl predictions. Tim, who is more likely to score the first touchdown, McCaffrey or Pacheco?
I'm going Isaiah Pacheco. And I just think that Kansas City's run defense is really, really good. Not that the Niners isn't, but we saw a video earlier. And I think the way Pacheco runs with anger, and I think the attention on Travis Kelce, I think it ends up being a pretty big Isaiah Pacheco night.
I'm hearing a lot of that around all week long. Meanwhile, D. Wood, Brock Purdy, we saw him run it a little bit last week. More or less 12 and a half rushing yards.
Oh, come on, man. This is going to be more. Like just look at the second half of the NFC Championship game where he used his head multiple occasions to get out of a situation. Like, that's what makes Brock Purdy, to me, like that guy. Like, when things break down, he's able to make plays with his legs. So it's an underrated aspect of his game.
Interesting that you put it that way. Is Brock Purdy that guy? That has been such a polarizing topic on this show and others in so many different ways. So it was only natural that Deion Sanders would weigh on it yesterday at the Super Bowl. Here's what he said.
This kid is the best story probably that has been over two decades. Mm-hmm. Coming from what the last player taken to in the Super Bowl and lead his team to the Super Bowl because of his play. I love this kid, man. I mean, shoot, I'm looking for a Brock Purdy. Is he? Brock Purdy. I'm sorry, I can't recruit right now. It's a damn period. I'm sorry, it's a damn period. I can't recruit right now.
All right, so there's Deion weighing in on it. It's really interesting. So we could take this in a number of different directions. I thought Tim did an outstanding job yesterday with his tape showing that Brock Purdy, certainly last week against Detroit, did a lot more than manage the game. So we went there. But how about the magnitude of the story itself? Two decades, that brings in Brady. If we're going to go back to Kurt Warner, there may never be a story like that. But this Brock Purdy story, if he does it from Mr. Irrelevant to Super Bowl champion in 2 years, that would be the stuff that they make movies about someday.
Yeah, and my answer, I'm looking at the jib, was really, Kurt Warner bagging groceries coming from Northern Illinois.
Nothing will ever be that.
The starting quarterback goes down.
But how about this? If I had told you.
No.
I do the draft. Right? When the draft ends and they say, okay, the final pick of the draft is Brock Purdy. If I had turned to you right then and said, oh, by the way, he's going to be the starting quarterback and a Super Bowl champion next year, 2 years from right now,
right,
you would have laughed me out of the entire city of Las Vegas.
But I think the story is a beautiful story, right? A perseverance. Also, I think it's an indication about what happens when guys stay in college and develop, right? Because it's about reps. And I think a lot of the big busts that have come out doesn't have the experience of throwing the football and playing in meaningful games and seeing different defenses. Listen, he acquits himself very well. But I think you still have to keep it in context, right? I don't know if the Brock Purdy story happens anywhere else other than this unique situation.
And, you know, I think it gets complicated and it's a bit of a gray area because we're talking about, you know, the beginning of the story. We don't know how it ends. And we'll see if Brock Purdy can prove that he's more like Tom Brady than, you know, maybe one of these one-hit wonders when they have to pay him and he loses maybe the best roster in all of football. So you have to hold on to that as well. And I think Joe Montana mentioned something like that earlier this week, you know, but he is not just a product of his environment, because if that was the case, Sam Darnold would be doing the same thing and Jimmy G would have been doing the same thing. So he is playing well and he's mastering the system. He's comfortable in being who he is. I don't think anybody here would say he's a top 10 quarterback, but I think, you know, he's the perfect quarterback for them at this time. I like Brock Purdy a hell of a lot more at $900,000 than I will at $45 million.
If Brock Purdy goes out there and wins the Super Bowl and he doesn't play another snap, It's one of the best stories that we'll have in the history of our league.
Yeah.
It really would be. I mean, think about it. The man was Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant, you go out here and you to put the icing on the cake, you go out there and you beat a guy that we're having a conversation about, the GOAT conversation at quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes, you go out there and win the Super Bowl. Like, that is a story. That is literally a Hollywood type story for Brock Purdy. Like, you just don't see these type of things happen. Regardless, like, you just don't see these type of stories come along that often.
But it's 15 more years of a story we have to talk about.
No, sure. You brought up Doug Williams yesterday. Amazing story.
Amazing
story.
Probably
at the time, like, maybe one of the best, if not the best story, like, in that, you know, era, right? Brady, you know, certainly, you know, fits that mold. Kurt Warner, no question about it. Like, listen, like, probably giving hope to so many guys that weren't drafted at the position.
Right.
Yeah, like, this is the greatest story. Like what Deion said, in two decades that we're talking about, yeah, it is. Listen, the only reason he was drafted last is because they were like, you know what, he might sign as a free agent with Minnesota, so let's go ahead and draft him. Like, absolutely. I would say this, like, and because of it, and the story will continue, why are we not comfortable paying him $50 million? If you are good enough to win a Super Bowl, why are you not good enough to be paid on par with a bunch of guys that can't?
Because of what you can't put around them.
But here's what I would say. Like, we're looking at this.
I'm not saying he can't.
I think we are assigning, when we talk about what he might get paid, I think we are assigning traits that dictate why a guy gets drafted, physical traits of why a guy gets drafted in the first round, which quite honestly are like the biggest misleading characteristics in quarterback evaluation. Go chase arm strength, see where that gets you. Like go trace the guy being 6'6", see where that gets you. Like, to me, the most important thing about playing quarterback is making good decisions. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is, are you accurate? Number three is, can you create? He does all three of those things as well as any of the best of the best.
I get that.
So, like, why are we in a point now? What, because he looks like a high school quarterback?
It has nothing to do with that, in my opinion. Because Drew Brees looked exactly the same way.
Exactly right.
But he proved that he had the great gene when he didn't have the best weapons around him. People always talk about, like, oh, well, Phillip Rivers is there. Like, Drew Brees was having a hell of a season before he got his shoulder stepped on and before he became a free agent. But what I'm saying is, Brock Purdy, when you take those weapons away, then what is he? Because we've seen him struggling in just a short sample size. When a couple players go down in the game, well, that's what the roster is going to look like on a daily when you take that much piece of the pie.
Yeah, but how many quarterbacks when you take away? They're gonna struggle.
It's still a dependent position.
Right.
Quarterbacks are dependent.
It's a very dependent position.
But it feels like he's more dependent than what some of the guys that we consider top 10 quarterbacks would be. We're all products of our environment, systems, and personnel. But what I'm saying is, what is Brock Purdy when you take away Ayuk and maybe Deebo Samuel or Kittle?
Well, what are a lot of guys if they were in the same?
No.
Brady without Gronk.
No.
Like, what are we talking about?
My whole point is, if Brock Purdy was a first-round pick, we wouldn't even be having these type of discussions.
If Brock Purdy was a first-round draft pick, they wouldn't have Brandon and you can be able to trade for a guy like Chase Young. That's the nuance of the conversation.
The only reason we're having these type of discussions is because of where he was drafted.
If Brock Purdy was a first-round draft pick, he would be 3 inches taller all these things.
Baker Mayfield was the first overall pick. The point you're making
is a reasonable one. And we have no way of knowing what the answer is.
We will find out.
We'll find out. out when we get there. The point is, at this moment,
hey, the first chapter of the story is as good as it can be.
It's a great story.
We'll see what San Francisco feels about him and how important he is when it comes time to give him $50 million.
Yeah. I mean, we'll know what the league thinks of him when it's comes time to pay him.
Look, every team would be better off not paying their quarterback $50 million.
Right. Right.
But in some cases, you have no choice but to do it. If he wins on Sunday, he'll have done something that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all these other guys have never done, and that is win the Super Bowl. Now, is he in a better situation than they all were? Yeah, I guess he is, but you got to give credit where it's due. All right, let me leave that there for the moment. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And for Super Bowl 58, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 of bonus bets instantly. Download the app. Use the code GETUP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. My green list is coming up next. Who were the greatest Super Bowl championship teams ever? The 85 Bears make the list. Did I put them at number one? You'll find out next. Plus, the D in Big D stands for drama, and we got more of it in Dallas. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what Emmett said yesterday about Mike McCarthy? Don't miss this. Next, get up on ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And we are counting it down to Super Bowl 58, literally counting the seconds until the biggest game of the year. And all week long, I've been doing my green lists for you, and I've saved the best for last. Here they are, the definitive list of the top five Super Bowl championship teams ever. At number five, the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers. I chose this as the best of the Steel Curtain seasons. They only lost one meaningful regular season game the entire year. They allowed 11 points per game in the regular season. They had eight Hall of Famers, plus the coach. Lynn Swann was the Super Bowl MVP. Could have chosen two or three of those Steeler teams. I chose 75. At number four, the greatest show on turf, the 1999 Rams. They scored 33 points per game. They had the best point differential of any Super Bowl champion ever. Kurt Warner threw 41 touchdowns. Marshall Faulk ran for almost 1,400 yards and caught 87 passes. They had some tough games in the playoffs, but in the regular season, they were as good as any Super Bowl champion ever. At number three, the 1984 49ers. They were the first team ever to win 15 games in a season. Their only loss that year was by 3 points. They beat the Bears 23-0 in the NFC Championship game. Joe Montana was the league MVP that year, and he was the Super Bowl MVP that year. It killed me to put the 85 Bears at number two because I believe they were the best team I ever saw. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That team could have punted on first down every time they got the ball all season long and still gone 8-8. That defense was so dominant, and the offense had Walter Payton and Jim McMahon and a bunch of other really good players. I think they were the best team ever. I think they would have beaten the 72 Dolphins, but I can't give it to them. They have to be at number two, and you have to give credit where it is due. The Miami Dolphins are the only unbeaten Super Bowl champion in history. I know their Hall of Fame quarterback, Bob Greasy, didn't play more than half the season. I know there were things about that team that don't seem as spectacular as others, but perfect is perfect. Every game on their schedule, they won. Until someone else matches that, they deserve to be at the top of this list with Don Shula and company. The 72 Dolphins are the greatest Super Bowl championship team of all time. Let's get the group in here again. The 85 Bears, the 84 Niners was a blink of an eye between them and 89. The Rams, I think, deserved it, if only because they were so much fun to watch. And all those Steeler teams deserve consideration. What do you think?
That's a great list. You know, for me, I'm partial. That 1999 Rams team, I mean, they were unbelievable. The greatest show on turf. And I got to play against a version of that, and it took a couple years later. They were special, special.
It's hard to argue with that one. Like the Bears, to me, like that stat about punting on first down.
They could have.
How good they've been. Like, the game changed with their defense.
Yep.
How they called defense. I mean, it's defense you played in, you know, a version
46,
of it, right?
46.
Like the reality is like, I like people that have changed the game. So when I look at number two and number three, look, the Niners changed the game with how they called offense. So, you know, to me, missing the Cowboys here is questionable.
Which Cowboys team?
Yeah. I mean, kind of like that.
The 90s or the 70s?
90s. I mean, they were dominant. That offensive line struck fear.
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot more games in the regular season than any of these teams did.
Yeah, a lot, but Emmitt Smith decided I wasn't coming in for the first couple
weeks. But, I mean, dominance is dominance. You either dominate the league you play in or you don't. This is the list. Let the record show. I am the world's foremost authority on all matters.
If these teams played in playoffs, who would win?
The Bears. The 85 Bears.
Okay,
the 85 Bears, but they lost. Dan Marino beat them. I mean, at the end of the day, if perfect is perfect, I don't think it's fair to put anything above that. Okay,
it was like mentioned when the Dolphins won, it was like 8 games. No,
there were 14 games. All right, next up, you got to hear this. So the Cowboys are expected to hire Mike Zimmer as their defensive coordinator, filling the vacancy left by Dan Quinn. That's all well and good. Yesterday, their legend, Emmitt Smith, aired out his concern with the team and the coaching staff after the playoff exit. Listen to this.
Our team just seems to be lost. I mean, I cannot put my finger on why it looks so, so bad.
So if that's the case, why is Dallas bringing back Mike McCarthy next year?
Because I'm not a GM. And to be honest with you, I thought that move would have been made because of how bad it looked.
Holy smoke. Mm. That because I'm not – that is Emmitt talking directly – what? What?
To revoke his field pass?
No. Right. You don't revoke Emmitt Smith's field pass, right? I mean, at the end, Emmitt Smith can say what Emmitt Smith wants to say. That's Cowboys royalty saying, man, I would have fired that coach, which is what you said and what I said and what most people I know said after that game. But when Emmitt says it, that you have to pay attention.
I mean, I think you pay attention. I think, you know, Mike McCarthy's, you know, walking a mile, and he understands what this season is all about. But let's put the blame where it deserves, too. Dan Quinn was horrible. He picked a bad day to have a bad day as well. You know, so you talk about the worst unit on that field was that defense, and no answers being, you know, shredded, you know, to pieces by basically a first-year starter, a guy with the youngest team in football. So I don't want to put all the pressure on Mike McCarthy. Like, listen, if they would have fired him, I would have understood. But you have to also look at what he's done over his career there. I mean, 12 wins. How hard is it to get 12 wins within that division?
You just told me that Lamar Jackson's season was a failure.
Yes.
The Cowboys got humiliated in their own stadium in their first playoff game. But how is that not a failure?
But I didn't say that, you know, Lamar Jackson should be kicked off the team.
Right.
I just said, listen, it was a failure.
Right.
And the Dallas season was a failure as well because I don't know if it'd ever be set up for them to be able to make a run again like that as well, right? But I don't think that he should be fired.
What do you think?
We can talk about Dan Quinn. We can talk about Mike McCarthy. You know what the real problem with the Cowboys is? Is the culture in their organization is too comfortable.
And who does that come from?
It's too comfortable in that organization. Like, there's no fear in that organization, I think, from the players. Like, I think that, like, I just go back to, like, Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson was a, you know, was a feared coach. Guys was on edge if they didn't do things on the right way. Fearing that they would lose their job. That's part of the reason. Yeah, they had great players, but part of the reason was those guys were always uncomfortable. Mm. Like, they had a fear in that organization. That, to me, is the biggest problem with the Cowboys.
But, like, is there a bunch of fear in Kansas City? I don't think there is. Like, I think it's a different generation of player, and so I think that creating an environment of fear, like, I don't know that works anymore. Here's what I'm saying. Like, we're like, hey, fire him. Like he went 12-5, okay? Meanwhile, the defensive coordinator gets a head coaching job when the defense is what stunk, you know, worse than the offense in their last game of the season.
Yeah,
so, like,
point.
I just think that, like, for whatever reason, the arrows are just pointing at, but, you know, at Mike McCarthy. And I think that if we look at it, look, he fired his offensive coordinator. I think you'd actually say they maybe got younger and better on offense under him. Like, so we're just going to reset it because the defense had a bad day? Like,
I mean, they got all these people inside their own locker room or extended, the locker room adjacent, taking shots at the quarterback. Well, I mean, they're like a dysfunctional mess, right? Well, there's a little bit of a circus.
Like, to me, I think, like what Emmett did, and listen, he's allowed to do whatever he wants, I guess, or what, you know, other people, like, that to me is what needs to stop.
What needs to stop?
Just like, that's not helping.
Well, who's
like,
stopping it?
Well, listen,
why isn't anyone stopping it? Why hasn't anyone come out and said anything about it?
But that goes back to the culture. And that's what D. Will's talking about.
Right.
They're too quick. Listen, it has always been said in football circles that if you punch Dallas in the mouth, they will fold. They don't have that grit, right? They don't have that mental toughness. And you see it coming out as they're pointing fingers, the passive aggressive stuff, allowing your family members to say things about and not having that stuff in house, and Michael Parsons not coming out and speaking on what his brother said and ducking and hiding. That's passive aggressive.
Right.
That's a bad culture to have. And that's something that's been in that locker room, in that organization ever since the 90s. Listen, Jimmy Johnson, if Jimmy Johnson's halftime speech was any indication of how he ran his ship, that lets you know that.
But then why is it not all good in New England under Belichick then?
No, because, you know what I mean? But, maybe fear might have been the wrong word.
Culture is
the better word is accountability, right? Sure. Andy Reid may not have people afraid, but they are accountable.
Right, sure.
And that leadership also comes from the guy wearing number 15.
You want to know an example of that?
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney, you hurt. I ain't hurt. Yeah, you is. You ain't playing. Sit your ass down.
That's exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's accountability.
We didn't even get to the more egregious thing that one of the Cowboys said yesterday. There's so much that we have today. We'll get everything in as we continue to roll on. Meantime, we also got good NBA action coming your way. We'll show you that one on Saturday night. But Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are underdogs. How much magic will Mr. Mahomes need to win another Super Bowl? We're talking about it next. Oh, it's a Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.